You're tuned in to the Health After 30 podcast. And if you're like me and you're fascinated by the natural aging process, how to age gracefully and promote longevity, then I invite you to lean in and be empowered by today's episode. Today, I'm joined with Kimberly Rebecca for another insightful conversation. Kimberly is a naturopathic practitioner. In our last conversation, we talked about perimenopause and the hormonal changes that any woman who menstruates experiences in the transition later on in life. And today we piggyback from that conversation and we go deep into the aging process, the aging gracefully, longevity, and the most important things that we need to consider to have an abundance of energy, vitality, and just overall health to ensure we can age with confidence, strength, and vibrance. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for being here, being interested in yourself, being interested in your health. And let's get into today's episode. Hey, I'm Alana Bonneman, naturopath and holistic nutritionist. This podcast is dedicated to reclaiming your health by harnessing yourself as your biggest asset. Get ready, because this is where we stand up for your body's ability to heal, go against outdated norms, and say yes to change, creating true and lasting success, all from the inside out. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Health After 30 podcast, and let's get started. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Health After 30 podcast. Today, I'm here with Kimberly Rebecca, and a very interesting topic that we want to start talking about. It's something that I've been interested in for a really long time, and this is longevity, this is aging. And personally for me, you can see I have these wonderful gray highlights popping up. And that happened to me when I was really, really young, about 25. So for me, this has always been, like, aging has always been something that's been on the horizon, quite obvious for me. So it's been something I've been interested in. What got you into, like, aging and longevity and this type of work?
So I started out working in a nursing home. It was my first job. And I always tell people, when you start out at end of life, you know what you don't want. So, you know, you start out, like, it was so impactful at such a young age to see adults getting their diaper changed and fed and being bedridden and not being able to stand on their own or brush their own hair or brush their own teeth. And I was like, this is awful. I don't want this. And I was really lucky. I grew up in a very, very healthy family. I grew up in a family with a lot of longevity. And so it was kind of foreign to me to see this with people and realize that it's the normal for a lot of people. You know, you look at it and go, I mean, it was just so eye-opening, right? To what happens when you don't prioritize your health. And that's not to say that things can't still happen, right? They can, but so many diseases are avoidable by making our health a priority. And so that, I mean, that was really what set off this cascade of interest in longevity for me.
Yeah. I think, as you said, starting at that end point, I heard a quote the other day which said something on the lines of, the disease that we're getting at 70, it's starting in our 30s. It's starting in our 40s.
Think about atherosclerosis, right? That plaque is starting to lay down in our 20s. And it's what we're eating. It's living an inflammatory lifestyle. It's just gradually happening over time. And so, you know, if we can get younger people more interested in their health and to realize you do have choices and the choices you make have outcomes, right? And so choose wisely.
And so that's where we want to go into today. How can we choose wisely at a young age? It's never too late to get on top of your health, no matter where you're at. Yeah. And so I think let's dive into, I always like to start with the mindset, because I feel like without having your mentality on board, you can be doing all the things. You can be, you know, having the lemon water, you can be doing the walks, you can be eating the salads or whatever it is. But unless you're really have, I guess, why or the mentality behind it, it's really hard to kind of pull through. So we've talked offline or off air about this before, this lifespan versus health span. Can you give me your take on the difference and why it's important to focus on health span over lifespan?
Yeah. So here in the US, I feel like we're great at lifespan. We can keep people alive with a really crappy quality of life for a long time. And that's just the truth, right? We have them on, you know, 20 plus pills and people are just existing. And the difference in health span and lifespan is just that. With health span, you're choosing to be proactive about your health. You're choosing to make decisions that you know are going to benefit you 20 or 30 or 50 or 60 years from now, versus having that short-sighted mentality and going, I'm just going to live for today. That's all well and good. And that's fine occasionally to be like, I'm just going to, you know, have like this junk food today and enjoy myself. Awesome. Go on vacation. Enjoy yourself. But I tell people it's what you do most of the time that matters, not what you do once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what we kind of need to carry through with us. I think a lot of restrictions and trying to do all the right things all the time. That, you know, I remember when I was younger, live fast, die young. Like we used to always say this as if you get to, I don't know, 40 and die or something, but you don't. It's like you hit 50, 60, and then it's just chronic disease. Let's look after our health span. And it's something that we do. I also like to say it's like the 80%, you know, 20% is also life for living. 80-20, it's that typical rule, isn't it?
I love that. I tell people that all the time because you also need to enjoy your life. Like if you love pizza, have pizza sometimes, but you can't have pizza 3 times a week. Yeah. Right? It just isn't nutritionally dense. It's not doing what you need it to do for your body. And I think that's the magic when you can understand that you do not have to be crazy, type A, never have things you enjoy. You have to find some middle ground there and be able to most of the time be focused on your health and occasionally do those things you enjoy that might not be so.
If you're like most people who tune into the Health After 30 podcast, you know that good health and quality of life go hand in hand. It's beyond our lifespan, but rather our health span that we need to focus on. Aging naturally, longevity, getting into old age, and keeping up with things that we love should be a priority. Please meet Kimberly Rebecca. She's a naturopathic doctor who uses peptide bioregulators as well as a longevity protocol to help enhance energy, get that mental clarity, good, and balance your hormones into old age. Please follow any of the links below to get in touch with her and don't miss a chance to work with her today. And so when we're focusing on the 80%, there's a lot of things that we can focus on. What would you say are the top 3 things that women need to, women specifically, as we age, coming in from 30, as we make the transition also through life, what are the top 3 things that we should be focusing on to make sure when we're at a nice ripe old age that we feel strong, mentally clear, you know, and vibrant and healthy?
I'm going to say sleep because I believe sleep is the foundation of our health. If you're not sleeping well, there's so many things that aren't happening that need to happen in the body, right? If you don't sleep well, you typically consume an additional 30% in calories every day. You become metabolically unhealthy. Your cardiovascular risk increases. Like there's all these things that happen when you don't sleep well. Your mood declines, your hormones decline. So work on getting your sleep right. And I know that can be very challenging for some people. It's particularly challenging for a lot of women as their progesterone decreases. So work on sleep, work on the quality of your sleep. My next thing would be protein, particularly for women as they age because of muscle loss and what muscle does in maintaining our longevity and our health span. And then my third thing would probably be move your body. So if you don't want to do anything else, walk. Just move. Move your body. You have to move because a body in motion stays in motion. Mm. And again, that was a very important lesson I learned when I worked in geriatrics. When people stop doing things, they stop being able to do things. Don't stop doing it. And if it starts to get hard or challenging, figure out why. Work on correcting or strengthening that area so that you can continue. You will stop being able to do the things that you stop doing.
Muscle, even it's the same with language as well. If you're not speaking it, you're not using it, it's going to go. So out of these 3 things, sleep, and muscle and movement. I want to talk about specifically muscle because okay. This is something else that you and I chatted about. Kimberly just shared an experience of having a sore ankle with, mm-hmm. you know, that you've had this accident. Mm-hmm. You know, movement is a massive part of it. Mm-hmm. The strength of our muscles. And we talked about this accident that you have and, you know, the progression, potentially osteoporosis as we age. And you said a really beautiful thing. You're like, I'm not scared of getting osteoporosis. And I love the confidence and conviction because you know that you've done the right things. And I know that osteoporosis is a big issue. You know, you typically hear as we age, we fall and we break things. We hurt things.
Another nursing home experience, right? If you look at the statistics of when someone falls and breaks their hip, their likelihood of living a year past that is pretty low.
Oh, that's yeah. horrifying.
It is horrifying. Like people would come into the nursing home and they'd be like, oh, my dad's just here to recoup. He broke his hip. We'll be out of here in a few months. And I would be like, my gosh, your dad's probably going to die. Because I knew statistically what happened to people within 10 months, they were typically dead because someone that falls and breaks their hip is lacking lean body mass. So their bones get weak. Well, you put that person in a bed or in a wheelchair for several months, they lose even more muscle mass. They get even weaker. And then they get pneumonia or whatever, and then they're gone. And it's so preventable.
Yes, absolutely. So how can we strengthen, as women age, how can we strengthen ourselves? How can we have that confidence that, you know, if we do fall, we can recuperate and not be a part of that majority that just degenerates?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really simple. So you start with you have to have adequate protein. Right? Yeah. You can't build muscle without enough protein. And that's where 1 gram per pound of ideal body weight. So really simple math. If you weigh 150, you want 150 grams of protein a day. If you weigh 170, you want 170 grams. If you weigh 110, you want 110 grams. Mm-hmm. One gram of protein per ideal pound of body weight. If you struggle to get there, use an amino acid supplement. Beautiful, easy way to get your protein in to help hit that number. And then from there, you have to do things that keep muscle on your, that build muscle, right? Mm-hmm. So for my women that are like, I don't want to go to the gym, because I have women in their 60s, 70s, 80s that are like, I've never stepped foot in a gym. I'm not comfortable
now.
I'm like, perfect. Start walking. And then let's get you a little like pack and put a couple of pounds in it, right? A rucking pack. You can get them with 1, 2, 3 pounds. You don't have to start off heavy. Let's add a little bit of weight. Add resistance, and that helps you build muscle. So it doesn't have to be complicated. Like we overcomplicate things, but you can literally walk and build muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I've done little tests with myself. I have an InBody in my office and I'll test different things. And I did a little test for almost 6 months where I really reduced the amount of lifting that I was doing. But I walked 6 miles every day and I did not lose lean body mass.
So that's to say that lean body mass would probably sustain the muscle that you already have.
Yes.
And would it be correct in saying that to build muscle, we do need that weight? So when I'm thinking like weightlifting, it's not like at the gym, just light, having a backpack.
I love the gym. I love heavy weight. It makes me happy, but I understand everyone's not that way. So just know the more you do, like the more weight you add, the more resistance that is. So the more muscle you can build. And if you're untrained, start small. Mm. Start with no weight on your back and get used to walking whatever it is, you know, walk 4 miles every day or whatever you, the number you choose. And then as that gets easier and easier, add a little bit of weight, right? Mm-hmm. Start to make it harder for yourself. Maybe do some, so I have this ankle injury, right? And I'm kind of limited what I can do in terms of walking and in terms of lifting my lower body. So many things that you do with your legs really incorporate a lot of hinge at your ankle. And so I've been thinking like, okay, what can I do so I don't lose muscle mass on my legs? So I've been doing, there's always a workaround, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I could do wall sits because that keeps your ankles just in a steady position. So I'll do like a 2-minute wall sit and then I'll recover and I'll do another one. You'd be shocked at how hard that feels, even though I'm used to lifting really heavy weight with my legs. When you keep that weight, the leg under tension for a long time, it works. So yeah. There are so many things you can do that don't require going to a gym that are still going to engage the muscles and create resistance that will help the muscle get stronger.
Mm. Our body is the weight. And when you put it on a certain joint or area or muscle, it can be enough. And then Absolutely. Once that's enough, then we can build on that. Yeah. And I think that's a really good place to start, using your own body weight to do that. So we're building muscle mass. And I want to talk about something which is a pretty big issue, I feel, for women and men, but I feel because women are more ostracized, it's more of a deal. And this is weight as we get older. Because, you know, sometimes this abdominal fat that comes around the belly, this happens as we go through hormonal changes. Mm-hmm. And because we've been brought up on this toxic culture of being thin at any cost, mm-hmm. it's really put women, and I see it in my family with my aunts, I see it time and time again that women just pop on diets to try to lose weight, because once they lose weight, then, you know, they're going to have less weight on their joints, for example. Transitioning from needing to be skinny and rather to be healthy, can we just go there a little bit as well? Because I feel like muscle mass also comes into this.
Yeah, you know, I get plenty of middle-aged women or a little bit older women that are really, really focused on being skinny at the expense of their long-term health, mm-hmm. right? So they come in and they're, you know, that look when someone's joints look bigger than the rest of their limb, because there's no muscle there. They're just skinny. And typically people like that are skinny fat, right? They have a higher body fat and very low lean body mass. And it's a recipe for disaster long-term. I work really hard on getting my ladies to, so I always start with telling them how much I weigh, because they're like, it doesn't. It's that if you took a pound of muscle and a pound of fat, the pound of muscle is going to be much smaller, much leaner and denser than the pound of fat, right? The pound of fat's going to be bigger and take up more space. So when you can get women to understand, like, adding lean muscle is not going to make you look big or bulky. It's actually going to make you look leaner and tighter. Mm. You know, it can take a minute to get it right in their head, but getting them to understand, you know, a few things. First of all, muscle is more metabolically active than fat. Mm. So the more muscle you have, the more calories you're going to burn when you're just at rest doing nothing, right? Your body will be more metabolically active. And then getting them to not focus so much on how much they weigh. I have definitely changed my opinion about this as I've gotten older. I think women look better with a couple of extra pounds on them versus underweight a few pounds. It tends to just make you look older. And so getting them to not fixate on the weight, but I'm like, when we put you on the InBody, all I care about is your lean body mass. Mm. I know if that's going up, your body fat is going down. Stop worrying about how much you weigh. How do your clothes fit you? How do you feel? Let's focus on that. And, you know, I'm like, I weigh 188. I'm also tall. I'm not a small person. But most of the time women are like, what? You do? And I'm like, yeah, I lift heavy weight. I have a lot of muscle. That's the difference, right? That's kind of the magic, is you have this dense body, but it's not bulky. You don't look big because the muscle is lean and tight. Mm-hmm. So if you can kind of get people to, if you can get women in particular to kind of change their mindset around, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful also because it promotes so much more in the body. As you said, muscle with metabolism, as we talked about, muscle with bone health as we age, and just also the overall how that sits on our body as well.
Being strong is that's sexy. Yeah. Like, as you get older, like, being able to, like, this is something I'll watch when I fly, how many women can't put their suitcase in the overhead because they're not strong enough. Mm. And I'm like, no, thank you. I want to easily be able to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be able to, when I have grandkids, I want to be able to toss them up in the air and play with them and squat down and pick them up. And those things come from doing that now and continuing to do it, you know?
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's so important.
Yeah.
Because you work a lot with peptide bioregulators. Mm-hmm. Tell us what a peptide bioregulator is and how they work and how they help us as we age.
Yeah, so we have proteins that are very long strings of amino acids. We have the typical peptides that people are getting pretty familiar with, the BPC-157s, CJC, epimorelin, GHK, right? All these other peptides that are shorter chains of amino acids. And then we have peptide bioregulators, and they are tiny, tiny, tiny little chains of amino acids. So they're either 2, 3, or 4 amino acids strung together. So very small. They're small enough that they can cross the cellular and nuclear membrane and they can attach right to the DNA. You know, they're really magical. They're an epigenetic switch. When they bind to the DNA, they upregulate production of certain proteins. And these peptides long-term, I heard Dr. Cavinson say they retread the tires. I like that, right? He's a doctor from Russia that discovered and clinically studied these bioregulators for over 40 years. The research that he did was amazing. And I learned about his research through Dr. Bill Lawrence here in the United States. He's a scientist and he has studied with Dr. Cavinson and is actually doing clinical research on these bioregulators here in the United States now. And there's so much data that is just really, truly unbelievable on what these will do. I heard Dr. Lawrence say his explanation of the peptides was they repair our repair systems. Mm. And so both of those analogies, I feel like, are really beautiful and easy for people to understand. Like, okay, these things are valuable. What I do when I use them with somebody, I have a longevity protocol that I'll do. It's a 12-month protocol. We'll do a true diagnostic test at the beginning, and we'll look at DNA methylation and telomere length.
Hmm.
It will then, the true diagnostic test kind of tells us the biological age of our different organ systems and different systems of the body. We take that data along with what someone has experienced, like, oh, you know, I've had some heart issues and maybe my kidneys aren't working awesome. And my vision is just really declining quickly. And, you know, we can take also what they're experiencing, put those two things together and develop a 12-month protocol for that person based on their clinical presentation and their test results.
Test results of the telomeres.
Of the telomeres and the DNA methylation.
What's a telomere?
A telomere is, they're like the tails on our DNA. So think about shoestrings, the little end cap, right? That plastic part that keeps your shoestring from unraveling. That's kind of what our telomere is. And we know that typically people with shorter telomeres have a shorter lifespan. Typically, people with longer telomeres have a longer lifespan. And so one of the things we can do is lengthen those telomeres with some of these bioregulators.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the 12-month protocol, we retest, we redo the true diagnostic test, and we're able to see some of the changes. And through Dr. Cavinson's work, what he found was when he put someone on these bioregulators for 12 months, they typically saw a 7-year biological decrease in their age. They also saw that people started aging slower. And so one of the things you can see on your true diagnostic test is how quickly you're aging. You know, it gives you some information that can be helpful in allowing us to put things in place now that help us age better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, yeah, so they, you know that 7 years for being on them for about 12 months, they found that when someone is on these peptide bioregulators for 2 to 3 years, they typically saw an additional 15-year increase in the lifespan. And these people were healthier because, again, you've repaired the repair systems. And so they have a higher quality of life as they age, which, you know, to me, again, having that experience working with people in a nursing home, that's everything.
That's massive. That's massive. Peptide bioregulators. Is it something that you can source naturally? Is it something that you can source through food or through diet? Or is it something that you have to take as an adjunct?
It's an adjunct. It's a little supplement. And they come from, they're literally just amino acids, but very specific amino acids that affect certain parts of the body. And they're sourced from 12-month-old calves.
Okay, so it's the amino acids being the building blocks of the proteins. Correct. From an animal source.
Correct, yeah.
Well, I understand they're repairing the repair system. So as we age, the way in which our cells replicate and, you know, kind of keep us going, this degenerates as we age.
You know, the way I describe it to people is when we're young, our metabolic rate is here and disease is here. And as we age, it does this, right? We slow down metabolically. And so disease starts to take over because we can't keep up. It helps get that metabolic rate where it should be. And people think of metabolism as like food and body fat, but it's so much more like our metabolic rate, how quick we have cellular turnover, right? Mm-hmm. So think about your skin. This is something most women are familiar with. As we age, our cellular turnover on our skin decreases. It gets slower and slower. And so that's where we start to see these lines and wrinkles and sagging and, you know, just things
dryness, aren't
happening as quickly as it used to. It helps with that.
Mm-hmm. Do you need to test first where you might need certain amino acids?
With my 12-month protocol, it's very tailored to the individual. Like we just did the test on my husband. We did some work on him first, got some things taken care of. My husband's a little bit older than me. We got some things cleaned up and then we did the true diagnostic test and we're like, okay. And the results totally made sense with issues that he's had with his health or, you know, things that are kind of have kind of sprung up that were like, yeah, this could be an issue in the future. It was very, very right on point. And so we're like, okay, these are the things that we need to work on for the next year. And so we're working on those things with him. One of the things that I think is really interesting is, you know, I'm 48. I'm at that kind of perimenopausal state in my life where my testosterone and my progesterone are just kind of ebbing and flowing. They're not staying as steady as they used to. You know, we typically see in this period, like women's actual, the length between their periods will start to get a little shorter most often. We just see changes happening. And so I believe that we want to keep our period as long as we can. It's vitality, it's youth. And so one of the things we know, like the bioregulator for the ovaries can really help kind of rejuvenate the ovaries and keep them younger. So I've been doing that, the ovary bioregulator, for a couple of months to try to just boost up the health of my ovaries because I know that we age faster once we go through menopause. So
hormonal changes. So you're basically retaining the youth of your ovaries because this is going to affect your hormonal regulation within your body, how you feel. You said it really nicely, actually, in our last episode that we did together, which is about perimenopause, like the ovaries are the only things that atrophy in the body.
We don't think about that and we're not taught that, but the ovaries are the only thing in the human body that are supposed to atrophy, you know? And then when that happens, we need our adrenals to be so robust to take over that additional hormone production. That's another bioregulator you can use is an adrenal bioregulators to really get the adrenals healthy because most people, their adrenals are not functioning optimally. And what people don't realize is things like this, like our cell phone, every time, like they've done studies, every time your cell phone, you get a text or it dings or makes a noise, it creates this little bit of anxiety in people like, what is that? Like, that's not natural. That's not, we weren't designed for that. And yet it's constant. It's all day long. And so giving our adrenals that extra TLC is just really, really beneficial.
Yeah, it sounds like the peptide bioregulators they sound essential to life. I'm still fascinated about the telomeres and like how telomeres are basically, you know, synonymous with having longevity, how cellular health is also promoting longevity. And these feel like they're essential parts. But
for those who can't access peptide bioregulators,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sleep, muscle movement, also super massive, but I feel this is so specific. Is there any other way to naturally try to promote our cellular health, the length of our telomeres, to really kind of age naturally, age gracefully, and really promote that longevity?
I would, the things I would focus on, I would get morning sunlight every single morning that you can, with as much skin exposure as you can. Do not be afraid of the sun. Our bodies were built for sunlight. So sunlight in the middle of the day is so important for health. You know, I've spent so much time in the sun over my life and my entire life without sunblock. And people are like, you're going to look so old when you're 40. And I'm like, I'm waiting. I don't think we should get sunburned. I don't think that's smart. But sunlight is vital for life. I mean, one of the ways we torture people is by not allowing them to have sunlight. Yeah. And now we've suddenly come up with this ridiculousness that the sun is toxic and causes cancer. Mm. No, the toxic chemicals you have on your skin in connection with UV light causes cancer. Mm. We would not exist as humans if the sun caused cancer. But I think sunlight is really important for us as humans, for our health, for our circadian rhythm. The other thing I would say in just promoting longevity and general overall health for women in particular would be supplement with an essential amino acid supplement. We need amino acids for everything that happens in our body. They are the building blocks for every single thing. So if you use an amino acid supplement, you're promoting longevity, mm-hmm. right? Not just in your muscle mass, but in every action and reaction that happens in the body. They all require proteins. So that's a really easy thing you can do every day. Get sunlight, use an amino acid supplement. Both of those are going to be beneficial in longevity and health.
Yeah, they're also very simple things. You also mentioned it at the start as well. I mean, next, perhaps having an amino acid supplement, if you're not getting enough, you can also find those in good quality proteins
mm-hmm.
in every single meal and snack kind of throughout the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I find women really struggle to get enough protein in during the day. Yeah. And I think part of it is that protein synthesis issue, right? So when we're young, it takes about 20 grams of protein to create protein synthesis in the muscle. By the time we're 40, it typically takes 40 to 45 grams to create protein synthesis in the muscle. Mm-hmm. So using an amino acid supplement can just be incredibly beneficial for kind of waking up the muscle going, hey, take this in, use it, rebuild, repair, and it can help you hit that number without a lot of stress about where you're going to get, right? Because it's very, very, like a scoop of amino acids that's worth about the equivalent of 30 grams of protein is like 4 or 5 calories. So you're not adding a bunch of calories. So it can be beneficial if someone's trying to lose some body fat, but you're still getting the proteins you need, the raw material to have a strong body.
I've never taken amino acids, but one thing that I've kind of seen recently, I want to call them coconut amino acids. Have you heard of coconut amino acids?
Coconut aminos, yes, but they're not it's not the essential amino acids. So there's a lot of different amino acids, but essential amino acids are literally all the amino acids that make up protein. It's literally what steak is made of, what chicken is made of, what cottage cheese is made of. It is those amino acids, because there are other amino acids that are not essential. So what I'm talking about here are essential amino acids that are the building block for muscle.
Okay. And this is something, is there quality that one needs to look for, or because they're a synthesized amino acid, anything?
Kind so of here in the States, there aren't a ton of companies that make essential amino acids that I'm aware of. My favorite is Body Health, and they're called Perfect Aminos. There's another company called Fortigen. I think Keon makes one. Body Health is my favorite.
Hmm.
Easy, you know, I tell people it is the cheapest form of protein that you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Really inexpensive in terms of high, high quality.
And I think as long as you're getting those essentials, mm-hmm. and I know there's 17 essentials, right? I couldn't
Eight.
Name. Eight. Mm-hmm. Oh, but there's 17 amino acids altogether, and 8 of them are essential. Is that correct?
Eight essential. I don't, you know what? I don't remember off the top of my head how many amino acids there are. Yeah. I'd have to look. I don't remember. I should know this, but it's just not in my head right now.
I guess if you're concentrating on the essential amino acids, and that's actually all that you need to think about.
Yeah, I mean, there's other ones that we use, you know, for different things, but the essential aminos are really what I see being so incredibly beneficial to health span for people as they age, particularly women, because we lose muscle faster, especially after menopause, right? Our testosterone declines, and we just start losing that muscle.
Yeah, I mean, women, and I feel like women get it a bit harder than everyone else as well. I feel like as men age, they kind of turn into like a nice fine wine. And I would love to change the narrative that women also are fine wines as we age as well.
100%.
So, you know, you're going through perimenopause yourself and coming to age and feeling confident. I think this is what all women should be feeling and inspired to feel. Mm-hmm. What's the takeaway that you can kind of, I don't know, leave and impart with us that we can hold on to? So someone, for example, in my situation, who is also, you know, gradually going through this transition and also wants to be strong and healthy, what's something that you've experienced which you can kind of impart as a piece of advice for us?
You know, I think ultimately health is partially a state of mind, right? Youthfulness is a state of mind. Have you ever met someone that's like 85 and you're like, oh my gosh, they're so vibrant and young and fun? That's so cool. I want to be that person. Like I have a patient that's in her late 70s and her motto is, I want to die standing up. She's this tiny little firecracker and I adore her. And I'm like, I want to be her. It's her state of mind. Mm. Like she comes in and when she has an appointment, we'll get into an amazing topic. She loves learning and she's always listening to like podcasts with the functional medicine doctors that are really brilliant, like the same people I listen to. And, you know, she'll come in and be like, did you hear what Dr. Artis said the other day on Dr. Tenpenny's show? And, you know, I think that so much about our health and our quality of life, it starts here. And I say that because I have people that come into my office that are like, oh my God, I'm turning 50. I'm so old. And I'm like, really? Because I'm 48 and I'm not old.
State of mind. It's completely a state of mind.
Yes. And I think that if you've been conditioned to think a certain age is old, then you're going to have to recondition your mind and go, yeah, I'm not old. I'm vibrant. I'm full of life and I'm strong. Something that has really, really stuck with me that may seem off topic, but it's not. I was listening to a podcast several years ago with a functional medicine doctor that's an oncologist, and they were talking about cancer, and the person that was interviewing her said, in your many years of experience, what do you think is the most important thing for someone to survive cancer? And she's like, oh, that's easy. It's their attitude. She said, I have seen many, many patients that should have died that were so positive and determined to live. And I have seen people that absolutely should have pulled through that were like, no, I have cancer. It's a death sentence. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I have learned that someone's attitude and their mindset determines a ton. And that would just really stuck with me, right? Because if it's impactful with cancer, think about the rest of our life, everything. Yeah. So I think if I could say one thing, it's your body's capable of healing if you're breathing. And like, change this every day. Like if a negative thought comes into your head, change it. You have the power to do that. And it's just retraining the way you think. So I think that that's probably the most powerful tool we have and we don't even realize it.
Absolutely. I so appreciate that. I also completely agree that the mind is almost like half of the healing or half of the, you know, whatever it is that we're experiencing.
Half the battle.
Half the battle.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I find that really inspiring. And I also find you as a practitioner and you as a person and, you know, like it's inspiring. And it's also something that I think many of us, many women should you know, try on a new narrative, try on how we are moving into, you know, old age together. I mean, we're not even there yet, but for when we do, to keep this a part of our life as we continue to go.
I totally agree. Like, I want to be having another conversation in 10 years and be just as vibrant and healthy, you know, 10 years after that. I've seen enough people and I've had enough personal experience to know that our mindset is very, very powerful.
I'm going to call you up in 10 years. We're going to have another chat.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm putting the calendar now. Kimberly, thank you so much for being here. It was such a pleasure speaking with you again.
You too. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for being here. You could have been listening to anything, but you're here interested in reclaiming your health. I hope you found the episode useful and constructive. If you enjoyed it and would like to show support for the show, please leave a review, as this makes my content more discoverable for other people to enjoy and learn from. Please also consider subscribing to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Finally, the best way to show support for the show is by sharing it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Thanks for listening. Be well, and I'll catch you next time.